Shalom, Havarim, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan with my lovely wife and teacher of God's Word, especially gifted in eschatology, Reverend Sheila Crawford.
Well, thank you, my love, and shalom to all of you as well. And may this program bless the listeners today. And of course, bless our Heavenly Father as we covet His Holy Spirit presence right now.
Abba, Father, we worship You and thank You for sending Your Son who has saved and healed us from our worst disease called sin. We highly praise You as we continue to lift up to You our loved one's salvation. We beseech You to open their hearts to receive the gospel from other saints who will speak the truth and may they be receptive to Your knocking on their hearts. We also pray for any necessary healings upon those called by Your name, as we also thank You for the many answered prayers and for our many blessings. Because of You, we can and do take authority over the evil one and render him powerless over the families of those listening at this moment. And also our president, may he fulfill Your holy word. We pray this in Yeshua's name, amen.
Amen.
Okay, looks like shutdown continues.
And another caravan from Honduras is heading our way. I am sure someone will give in soon. Or President Trump will declare a national emergency for the barrier, although he does not want to because it would probably be tied up in the courts before ever even getting to the Supreme Court. And as well, it appears that the liberal, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, is still sticking around. But the TSA at our airports, well, they're not getting paid. And it's kind of like they're beginning to rise up.
Ginsburg's still around, huh? All right, an important hearing began today.
Yes, former CIA agent William Barr's Senate judiciary hearings for Attorney General. And although they will greatly grill him, but I think it's more for show, I absolutely predict he will be accepted.
You want to expound on that?
Sure. Well, he is a Jesuit trained, and he's a Bush loyalist who served in the Reagan White House and then as Attorney General for Skull and Bonesman Papa Bush. Barr also advised HW to pardon 6 Reagan officials involved in the Iran-Contra scandal.
And the reason for that was?
Well, because those 6 officials knew way too much, especially concerning Papa Bush's involvement, and he did have it, and therefore might have used it to lessen their own sentences.
You think?
Yeah,
so,
they were pardoned.
So you are saying Barr has high connections?
Without a doubt. Mm-hmm. And President Trump certainly knows this. And, well, right now he could probably use his expertise and connections. Plus, I am sure it was suggested to President Trump to appoint William Barr by the elite cabal, which, yes, George Bush Jr. is also a part of. Also, do you think it is just a coincidence that William Barr's daughter, also Jesuit schooled, Mary Daly, was hired last year to work at the Justice Center, now in charge of the opioid crisis?
No, I don't. So, Mr. Barr would be his daughter's boss, so to speak.
Yes, indirectly he would be. Oh, and another thing, Barr and Mueller are good friends, attending their daughter's weddings.
Okay, moving on. Looks like we've started pulling out of Syria.
Yes, after many differing back-and-forth reports between Secretary Pompeo and John Bolton, who, in my mind, I'm thinking he's on his way out. Even the Pentagon said, in reference to Bolton's denial of our pulling out, that they do not take orders from John Bolton. And also, President Trump commented in a tweet recently. You want to read that?
Starting the long overdue pullout from Syria while hitting the little remaining ISIS territorial caliphate hard and from many directions will attack again from existing nearby base if ISIS reforms. And we will devastate Turkey economically if they hit the Kurds and create a 20-mile safe zone.
Yes, and you know what? This is the first time that one NATO country, as ourselves, has threatened another NATO country, as in Turkey, and with economic warfare. Some alternative news outlets are suggesting that President Trump is moving us out of the way in Syria for Israel to hit Iran harder, its bases in Syria. And we are seeing actually a foreshadow of that since last weekend. Also, there are some reports that Blackwater mercenaries are actually being hired to protect the Kurds. Okay, so be sure and send us your questions or comments, because we'd really like to hear from you.
Yes, we would. And there are three ways to contact us. You can email to Sheila at shofarministries.net or by the old snail mail, Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. Or just call the office and leave a detailed message to your question, as to your question, to 440-834-9006. And, of course, we always appreciate your love offerings, which can also be made on the webpage, shofarministries.net, where you will find all the past radio and teaching newsletters archived for your added learning.
And our monthly newsletter just went out on Monday, so let us know if you'd like to receive it if you're not already. Okay. We really do love your questions. And a question that we often receive is, what specific number one sign would we place above all others that assured our belief that we are that last generation before Revelation 6 begins? And the answer is?
The return of the Jews to Israel, especially since 1948.
Which was prophesied through the biblical prophets, and a real miracle due to all that they have been through. And even dating back historically, you could go back to the Assyrians and the 10 lost tribes that, by the way, have now all been found. And since 1948, they have their homeland legally back since their dispersion of 70 AD. And, of course, that was from the Romans, which is in itself is just amazing.
As God, of course, is.
Amen. But let me add, not only was that the catalyst for the end times, it was also a prophecy from Jesus using the fig tree analogy in Matthew 24. Going back a few chapters before Matthew 24, Jesus cursed the fig tree, which means brought a judgment on the fig tree because it didn't even have the small buds that normally grow in the spring. So he cursed it. Which is an oddity because even though it was not in the fall season for fruit, it still had leaves, which only appear after the buds appear.
Yeah, but there was none.
Right. What this says is the tree had the capability to bud, portrayed by the leaves. In other words, the spiritual meaning is that the Jewish people had the scriptures, so should have known, but never budded with the truth. Jesus also explains it further in Matthew 24, verse 32, but before we look at that, let's confirm the symbolism from Hosea 9:10.
I found Israel like grapes in the wilderness. I saw your fathers as the first fruits on the fig tree in its first season.
So here, God, through Hosea, compares the land of Israel to grapes. In other places, he will use the word vine. And then we see the people starting as far back as their first ancestors compared to the fruits of the fig tree. So let's read Jesus' words in Matthew 24, verses 32 through 35, using the fig tree as a major sign of his return.
Now, learn this parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So you also, when you see all these things, know that it is near, at the doors. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away.
So he begins with, now learn this parable from the fig tree. So Jesus calls it a parable. Let's begin by asking, well, what is the difference between a parable and a true story in the Bible? True accounts use at least one specific name of a person in the story. Parables use rather analogies of a hidden truth, never using people's names.
So, when Jesus uses a specific name, then we know it's a true story.
Yes.
So, a parable is an earthly story, but with an important heavenly meaning.
I like that. An amazing characteristic belonging to Jesus. And by the way, do you remember his answer in Mark 4 when asked why he spoke in parables? Jesus explained that parables had a twofold purpose, really, to reveal the truth to those who wanted to know it, but to conceal the truth from those who were indifferent. Those who, like the Pharisees, had a preconceived bias against the Lord's teaching, so would just dismiss the parables as irrelevant nonsense.
Well, you know, the unsaved still do that today.
Definitely. However, those who truly seek the truth of his word, those who have ears to hear, would contemplate deeper in order to understand. And often, when he was alone with his own disciples, he explained most of the parables to them. In this instance, though, they already knew what the fig tree symbolized because Scripture interprets Scripture. And we'll look at that more in a moment, but this is the basic principle of hermeneutics and invaluable when studying the parables. And by the way, Jesus' parables has never contradicted the rest of the Word of God.
Well, yeah, you know, they're meant to illustrate doctrine.
Yes. In Jesus' day, his people weren't producing from the heart. They, as a whole, missed their Messiah, and because of that, Jesus cursed the fig tree a few days earlier in Matthew 21. Now, here in Matthew 24, he also said, when you see tender branches, which means it's budding, and the leaves, know it's that generation who will see it all take place, as described in Matthew 24's previous verses.
Remember, keep in mind, Jesus is talking to the Jewish people here.
Well, yeah, right, because if you are the bride, you will leave just prior to the tribulation in Revelation 4. But seeing the fig tree with leaves again, by them being in their land, we can also know that our time here is climaxing. A generation is between 70 and 80 years, according to Psalm 90, verse 10. But there are actually two definitions to a generation. It can be either 40 years, when a 20-year-old has a child and then that child turns 20, or the word for generation can also be the average age of a person.
Yeah, you must go by the context.
That's correct.
So that is a huge piece of our end time puzzle.
Right. Now, there has always been a remnant living in Israel that decided to stay, but Israel began budding again after their long dispersion when they, as a whole, began to return to their land and were officially acknowledged as a state on May 14th, 1948.
70 years ago. Imagine that, last year, you know?
Yeah. Then add up all the other signs, like, well, for instance, the blood moons, which next Sunday we will have a super one. And Joel 3 did prophesy a blood moon just prior to the tribulation.
Yeah, he did indeed.
Oh, and along with a solar eclipse that we will see in April.
Wow.
Anyhow, we are very close. So, let's look at another previous reference to the fig tree, as in Joel 1, verses 6 and 7.
For a nation has come up against my land, strong and without number. His teeth are the teeth of a lion, and he has the fangs of a fierce lion. He has laid waste my vine and ruined my fig tree. He has stripped it bare and thrown it away. Its branches are made white.
We know from Daniel 7, the lion is Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar attacked Jerusalem, burned the temple, the land, and killed some Jews, but took most of them captive.
For 70 years.
That's right. And we read in Jeremiah chapter 24 where God shows Jeremiah a vision of baskets, of good figs and of bad figs. And we see the vineyard used in Isaiah 5, verse 7. You want to read that?
For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel.
Pointing to the idolatrous northern tribes. And continuing in verse 7.
And the men of Judah are his pleasant plant.
Referring to the good figs, particularly those in Jerusalem. These terms are sometimes used interchangeably, but either way, we are seeing the land of Israel and the people as either grapes, vineyards, or figs.
And don't forget the olive tree.
Now that's their spiritual heritage and doctrinal rights, which, because of their unbelief in Jesus' day, branches were broken off so the Gentiles could be adopted in or grafted into their Messiah, because the roots are still there to provide for the wild branches, and that's us. Roots are the scriptures which provides our nourishment.
And I read that the wild olive trees really do produce more fruit.
Yes, because of Jesus. And it has already begun on a small scale. But soon, during the tribulation, all of Israel will be grafted back in, and we will all be one in our Messiah, Romans 11 and Galatians 3. Okay, in summary, Matthew 24, verse 33, Jesus says, when you see all these things.
What things?
All that he had just spoken. The prophetic signs along with the budding of Israel in 1948. That's how we can know it's close, even at the doors. Now, after the tribulation, Jesus returns in the clouds on a white horse, and we will accompany him also on white horses, Revelation 19. And Zechariah 5, so yes, there are animals in heaven. Then his angels will gather together the new elect from the tribulation. And as well, according to the very next chapter, 25, he will judge between the sheep, putting them on his right, and the goats on the left. Isn't it so interesting that we see still today the left opposite the right? Even in Jesus' day, the righteous lived as close to the temple as they could, which was on the right side of Jerusalem when facing the front of the temple. But the others wanted to be closer to Herod's palace, which was on the left side of Jerusalem, where the Valley of Hinnom is located, where they burned rubbish and criminals. Now in verse 34, when he says, assuredly I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place. The generation, or the people alive at the time of the fig tree budding, when they become a nation in 1948, some of those people will still be alive when all this happens, when he returns. Now, I was alive in 1948. And in fact, anyone alive still now can be a part of the calling up of his bride, the rapture. If you haven't already, repent now and ask Jesus into your heart. Verse 35 says, heaven and earth will pass away. Well, we know there will be a new heaven and a new earth, but his words will never pass away. So I also want to comment that in Luke's account in chapter 21, he also says to behold the fig tree and all the trees. Now, these are all, I believe, the other many nations that have since been formed after Jesus was here, and especially in the last century. You know, the UN has greatly increased since it was established in 1945. It began with just 51 member nations. By 1970, there were 127 nations, including Israel. And today there are 193. And then, of course, you have to consider the nations in the Middle East. You know, the UAE, it's kind of like an Arab UN. Iraq became an independent nation in 1932, Syria in 1946, Lebanon in 1932, and Jordan in 1946. And the 50s, 60s, and 70s saw a number of new Arab nations come into existence, like Libya, Sudan, Tunisia, Yemen, Oman, Bahrain, Qatar. So, the attention of the whole world right now is really turned to Israel and to these trees. And again, they have shot up quickly and are mostly hostile to Israel. So that's why he says pay attention to the other trees as well. You know, in Psalm 83 verses 2 and 4, it says, "For lo, thine enemies make a tumult. They that hate thee have lifted up the head. They have taken crafty counsel against thy people. They have said, come and let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be no more in remembrance." Again, we know the rest of the story. So let me ask you, are you a fruit producer? You know, a fruitless tree is useless, just as a spiritually barren nation is useless to God. And Israel was fruitless then, and spiritually as a whole, especially. But there is still good news, and that the tender branches have arrived with buds. And because the roots of the olive tree were left in the ground for us Gentiles and for today's Messianic Jews, we will also see his kingdom as fruits on the fig tree. I'm really very excited as to what's coming. And it really does help to know this. And that's why he wants us to read his word, so that we can know this, so that we can get through anything that happens. And Luke 21 says you can escape the horrors of the soon coming judgment with a simple prayer. Just admit you are a sinner, repent, and invite him into your spirit. Then let him have dominion over you instead of the god of this world. Because, and you might not understand this, but if Jesus isn't ruling your life, then Satan is. There is no in between. Also, to those of you who are lukewarm Christians, let me say to you, get your act together now. You got to start tithing your time in God's word. You need that strength. You got to catch up. And you absolutely need it for discernment. Without discernment, you could very easily be led astray. So, keep hoping for his soon return. I believe it might be this year. We'll know more as time goes through, and looking for that peace deal if it divides Jerusalem, which I'm thinking it will. So I want to leave you with the Aaronic blessing, of course, as we always do. Number 622 through 27. Yivarakka Adonai v'yishmerakka, Ya'er Adonai panav v'lecha v'yinecha. Yaseh Adonai panav v'lecha v'yisem v'ha shalom. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Till next time, Sha'alu Shalom, Yerushalayim. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love her shall prosper in all ways. That's Psalm 122, verse 6. Shalom, till next time.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries, right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.